Grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Obadiah, if you will. Book of Obadiah. We'll just read verses 15 and 16 this morning. The focus will be on verse number 15, and really just on a phrase in verse number 15, but we'll read 15 and 16 together. Book of Obadiah, one chapter there, verse 15. The Bible says, "For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this time that we have to gather as a church family and to worship you. To bring our needs before you, to sing praises to your name, and then, Lord, to open up your precious book and learn more from it. I pray that you give your people today hearing ears. Lord, help them through your Holy Spirit to understand the topic that we will be looking at today. And Lord, help me as I bring it forward unto your people that it would be clear, concise, and understandable. And Lord, we'll give you all the honor and praise for all that is accomplished. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What you're going to find as you read your Bible and study your Bible is that you will come across certain key words and phrases that are used quite often. One such phrase or term that is used many times in your Bible is found here in verse number 15 of our text. And the phrase, I'm calling it a phrase, it's probably better a term or designation. The phrase is the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. That specific phrase or designation is found 23 times in the Old Testament and 2 times in the New Testament. In addition to that, there are scores of other verses that refer to this exact same day, but with slightly different words, such as the day or that day. And they're all referring to the same day of the Lord. So what I want to do this morning is study that phrase out and see what it is referring to. What is the day of the Lord? Now, the first thing we need to do to understand what the day of the Lord is to understand what the word day means. If you would, go with me to Genesis chapter 1. We talked about this, it's been probably a year or maybe a little bit more now when we went through Genesis 1 and 2. But the word day is used 3 different ways in the Bible. Genesis 3 gives us all of these here, Genesis 1 gives us all 3 of these usages, and I want us just to notice these so we can understand when the Bible says the day of the Lord, what day are we talking about? The first way the Bible uses the word day is that it can refer to a 24-hour period of time. Notice Genesis 1, 5, 8, 13, 19, 23, and 31. We're not going to read all of those, but notice the very last statement in every one of those verses. I'll read the one in Genesis 1, 5. "And the evening and the morning were the first day." So here the Bible is using the word day to refer to a 24-hour period of time. We, in our modern usage today, might say something like this: "I was sick for 2 days. We are meaning 2 24-hour periods of time. The second way the Bible uses the word day is that it can refer to a 12-hour period of time. Notice there in Genesis 1, verse 5, go to the first statement that is made. The Bible says, "And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night." So the hours of daylight between dawn and sunset can be rightly called day. We use this even in our modern usage today. I might say something like this: "I only work during the day." I'm talking about that 12-hour period of time of daylight. The Bible uses this as well. Lastly, the word day can refer to an extended period of time. Notice, go over to Genesis chapter 2, right at the beginning there. Notice verses 4 and 5. "These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created," notice this now, "in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens and every plant of the field before it was in the earth." Now, did God make the earth and heavens and every plant of the field in one day. We go back to Genesis 1. No, he did not. He did that over a course of days. But the word day here is referring to an extended period of time. For instance, modern usage, I would say something like this. Back in my grandfather's day, most businesses were closed on Sunday. Do I mean just one day? I'm talking about a period of time in the past. So that word day has different usages depending on its context. We need to understand what is the context when the Bible often speaks about the day of the Lord. What usage is being used here? And I'm going to tell you it, and then we're going to look at references in just a little bit. But the day of the Lord falls into this third usage of the word day. The day of the Lord is a reference to an extended period of time, not just a 12-hour or 24-hour period of time. Again, you'll see that as we make our way through some of these Bible references today. Now, what I find interesting is that this day of the Lord, this extended period of time, has the same characteristics of a 24-hour day. What I mean by that is this day, this extended period of time, begins with a period of darkness and ends with a period of light. Now, if you remember, the Jewish day, we talked about this when we looked at Genesis 1, the Jewish day began with the evening and ended with the morning. We do it reverse today. We talk about morning and then evening. The Jewish day, evening and morning made the first day. And still to this day, the nation of Israel, evening and morning is what makes up their day. Darkness of night is the first part of their day, and the light of sunshine is the second part of their day. Okay? This day of the Lord has that very same characteristic. It's not a specific 24-hour period of time of day and night. It's an extended period of time, but this extended period of time called the day of the Lord has a period of darkness and then ends with a period of light. So it has that same characteristic of a day. And what I mean by darkness and light, it will start with a period of destruction, a period of God's wrath being poured out, and then it will end with a period of deliverance, a period of blessing, the day of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice this even in our text. Go back to Obadiah. Make sure you keep your finger there because we'll be going back and forth. Notice again verses 15, and I'm going to read through verse 18. The day of the Lord is brought up. I want you to notice how it started and then how it ends. Verse 15, for the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. They shall drink and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. That's a period of darkness, and we're going to look at that in more detail throughout the next coming weeks. This cup that is being spoken about is the cup of God's wrath. You'll see that all throughout the Bible. What the nations had done, God was going to do to them. They had destroyed. God says, I'm destroying you in the day of the Lord. So we have this period of darkness, this period of destruction. But notice now verse number 17. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Actually, I want to go down to verse number 21. And Savior shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. So notice here, the day of the Lord begins with judgment upon all the heathen. Verse number 15. And it ends with deliverance upon Mount Zion. Verse number 17. And the Lord ruling the kingdom from Jerusalem, verse number 21. So do we see this dual aspect of the day of the Lord? Do we see this period of darkness, destruction, and this period of light, this period of deliverance and blessing? This is the day of the Lord. As you study this term out in the Bible, you will notice that the vast majority of passages which speak about the day of the Lord are referring to a time period in the future that has yet to come. We'll talk about that a little bit more in just a second. But that being said, there have been specific past days of the Lord when God intervened dramatically to judge. We're not going to study these, but I will mention them. One example is the destruction of Egypt that is spoken about in Ezekiel 30, verse 3, and then again in Jeremiah 46, verse 10. That is called the day of the Lord. God intervened in a dramatic way to judge Egypt, and it is called the day of the Lord. In Joel 1, verse number 15, there's a locust plague that God sends upon his own people. God intervened dramatically to judge his people. And that again is called the day of the Lord. So there have been past days of the Lord, but these are just a foreview of what will come. The day of the Lord, a time in the future, an extended period of time in the future when God will judge. Now, I want you to notice here specifically in our text that this future and final day of the Lord, when God dramatically intervenes to judge, this will be a judgment upon all the heathen. Notice this in our text. Go to verse 15 again. Now, remember, the book of Obadiah is specifically about one heathen nation, Edom. God said, what you did to Jacob, I'm going to destroy you. But I want you to notice the wording here in verse number 15. When the day of the Lord is now spoken about, there was a judgment coming just to Edom. But now when God brings up the day of the Lord, it is broadened. Edom is not the only nation that God has in his crosshairs. Notice this. For the day of the Lord is near upon whom? Just Edom? All the heathen. All the heathen nations will be a part of the day of the Lord. Go to verse number 16. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. The last phrase there, they shall be though they had not been. So specifically here, this coming future day of the Lord was something that all the heathen nations will go through. Edom was presently going to be judged for what they did. But God in this prophecy is reminding everybody, if you're heathen, there is coming a day when I will judge you for the wickedness that you have done. So God was going to presently judge Edom for what she had done to her brother Jacob. But in this pronouncement of judgment upon Edom, God lets us know that there is coming a day when he will judge all the heathen nations for what they have done. And not only will he judge all the heathen nations, but he will also deliver and bless his chosen nation, the nation of Israel. Now, without looking at the scriptures just yet, when do you think that future coming day of the Lord is? You can give me some feedback. Okay, there's two aspects that we're going to look at. So the day of the Lord is an extended period of time. It starts with a period of darkness, and it ends with a period of light. It starts with destruction and it ends with blessing. So the future day of the Lord will begin with the time period of the tribulation. And that is a period of destruction upon whom? All the heathen. And it will literally, that the when Christ comes back at the end of the tribulation, there is literal darkness on the face of the earth. It is a period of darkness. It is the evening. It is the night of the day of the Lord. But then when Christ comes back, he comes back in glorious power and glory, light. And what does he establish after that? his millennial kingdom, which is what? A time period of blessing, specifically upon his chosen nation Israel, but upon all the righteous. So the day of the Lord will start with the tribulation, and it will end with the millennial kingdom. That extended period of time is a time of judgment upon all the nations, and then it is followed by a time of blessing upon the nation of Israel, and then all of God's righteous people. I have a little bit of a graphic here to show you. Maybe this will help you understand a little bit more. But everything I just said is now here on picture form. But the day of the Lord starts. Rapture, tribulation begins. That is the beginning of the day of the Lord. We'll look at some of these references today. That is the night. It will be literal darkness of night in the day of the Lord. And it will be for an extended period of time here, 7 years. And then when Christ comes back, specifically these references even call his second coming the day of the Lord. And he comes back through the darkness. It is now light. He judges and he sets up his millennial kingdom. This is the day portion, the light of the day of the Lord. And then it will eventually conclude. And then the Bible talks about the eternal day. That's the eternal state. Once the millennial kingdom finishes, and then the new heavens and the new earth, then there will only be the eternal light of day as we serve the Lord in the new heavens and the new earth. So that is the day of the Lord. Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to show you some references here. We're not looking at every one of the references, but we're going to look at a good portion of the references which speak about this day of the Lord. I'm going to do so for two reasons. I'm spending a lot of time today on that one phrase because first, I want you to understand what the day of the Lord is. Okay? There are certain terms in the Bible that are used many times. You need to have an understanding of what that is. But secondly, and I think even more importantly, I want you to have an understanding that God will judge all the heathen someday. As much as we don't like to say it or talk about it, God will pour out his wrath and anger on the wicked and destroy them. Now, you're not going to hear a lot about that in churches today, even though I'm going to show you scores of references about it. We talk about the love of God a lot, and rightly so. I do not mean to diminish this point. 1 John 4:8, we spent a good amount of time talking about it. God is love. But at the same time, my Christian brothers and sisters, you need to have an understanding that the God who is love will destroy the wicked if they will not repent. Psalm 145, verse number 20. The God who is love is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 7, verse number 11. I'm not making it up. Quoting you the Bible. The God who is love hates all workers of iniquity. Psalm 5, verse 5. Now, we don't like to talk about that. But that's from your Bible. The same God who loves also hates. Now, he has not poured out his wrath. We'll look at it. Because God's not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come to repentance. But if they will not, please have an understanding. The God who is love will destroy them. He kills them and sends them to hell forever. Okay? Now, you're not going to hear that because the vast majority of, and I use Christians and churches loosely, they want to live any way they please. So they just say, God's love. So that means I can do whatever I want. He just loves me. No, God hates sin. He loved you enough to send his son to die for you so you don't have to reap the consequences of that. But do not mistake that God will just let you be in sin. If you will not turn, he will destroy you. But that's not a popular message today. So the vast majority of churches will not speak about it. And we are damning people to hell in our silence. I can live any way I want. God's not going to judge me. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. He is long-suffering and he is patient. But he will judge justly. And if you live in wickedness without willing to repent and ask forgiveness, he will destroy you. The God who is love. So this morning, we're going to go through quite a bit of passages. I'm not going to do a ton of commentary. At least that's not my desire. I will make some points. I want you to see how many times the day of the Lord is talked about and how it is talked about. It is a time of wrath and anger. God's pouring out his wrath on people. He's destroying people. Okay, I want you to see this from the Bible. First, go with me to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, we'll start reading verse number 10. Again, for the most part of all of this, you could read much more in the chapter about it. I'm trying to hone it down because we have so much scripture to read. But Isaiah 2, I'll start reading verse number 10. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. There is no fear of the Lord today. People think they can do whatever they want. God's not going to judge me. You don't fear the Lord like you ought to. I love my father, but I feared my father. I knew my father loved me. I did not want to do anything that would cause him to have to say, I need to discipline you now, in a right way. God's a loving father, but don't think he's not going to discipline. You don't fear the Lord. You need to fear the Lord. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted when? In that day. What day is this? Verse number 12. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Go down to verse number 17. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. What's that day? It's the day of the Lord. And the idols he shall utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. You read the book of Revelation, he will terribly shake the earth. In that day, the day of the Lord, a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made, each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rock and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. So there is coming a day, the prophet said. It's called the day of the Lord. And when that day begins, Christ will come back and shake the earth. You read the book of Revelation. That is a terrible, terrible day that is coming. A period of darkness and destruction upon whom? The proud and the haughty. We don't need to listen to God. We can do what we want. We don't need to humble ourselves to the word of the Lord. We're going to live the way we want. God's going to judge you. It's in the day of the Lord. Now he's patient. He's long-suffering. He sent his son so he doesn't have to do that to you. But he will. He will judge you if you will not turn to him. Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13. We'll start reading in verse number 6. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. You don't hear that talked about a lot. Just read it from your Bible. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. All of this stuff is repeated in the book of Revelation, and even Jesus talks about it in Matthew 24 and 25. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and I will lay the haughtiness of the terrible. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. Jeremiah 46. Verse number 10. This is speaking specifically about a past day of the Lord, but it does give us a sampling of what the future day of the Lord will look like. Jeremiah 46, verse number 10. For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries. And the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiate and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts hath a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. Again, you read the book of Revelation if you've joined us so far. When Christ comes back, he comes back with the sword. And he will slaughter the wicked. You say, it's going to happen. Everyone loves little baby Jesus in the manger. But they forget he comes back with a sword to destroy the wicked and will drip with their blood. Joel chapter 1. You understand why churches don't talk about this, right? It's not a pleasant thought, but it is the truth from the Word of God. Joel chapter 1. Verse number 15. Alas for the day. What day? For the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Chapter 2. Chapter 2. Start reading verse number 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. What type of day is it? A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. We'll read verse 3. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. Verse 10. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. For his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? Nobody. Those who are left to endure the day of the Lord will not. They will be utterly destroyed. Joel chapter 3, verse number 1. For behold, in those days, and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Go down to verse number 9. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. These are the heathen nations. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Verse 18, and it shall come to pass in that day, this is the day of the Lord, that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters. This is the blessing part of the day. So you read the darkness, this is the light. All the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth out of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall dwell forever in Jerusalem from generation to generation, for I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. So again, we see this dual aspect, a day of darkness, a day of light, a day of destruction, a day of blessing for the people of God. Amos, very next book in your Bible. I'm trying to keep these in chronological order as far as how they come up in our book here. Amos chapter 5. So you don't have to do a lot of flipping back and forth. We'll just keep going right in a row. Amos 5. Start reading verse number 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion, a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? Book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah 1. We'll start reading in verse number 14. Zephaniah 1:14, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities, against the high towers, so a time of war. And I will bring distress upon men that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a spitty riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah 14, verse number 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather, notice again, all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, the house is rifled, and the woman ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Go down to verse number 8. And it shall be in that day. Now this is the positive part of the day. We just read the negative part. Jesus will fight against the nations and destroy them. But here's the day part. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half this way, half that way, verse number 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from, and it goes on, just all the blessings Verse number 11, and men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. So this is the blessing. This is the light of the day of the Lord. But again, it is preceded by the darkness, by the evening. Now, let's go into the New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. The New Testament apostles also spoke about this coming day of the Lord. We're going to look at the one reference, or there's a couple of references, the actual phrase is used, but they often refer to that day that is coming. But 2 Peter 3, chapter 10, notice what the apostle says. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. What's going to happen in this day? In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Well, there's coming a day that this earth will be destroyed. And that will conclude this day of the Lord. Let me show you one more reference. 1 Thessalonians. Now, a lot of bad news and everything that we just talked about. Let me show you some good news. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul has some encouraging words for Christians about that day of the Lord that is coming. 1 Thessalonians 5, we'll start reading in verse number 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, so this is brothers and sisters in Christ, these are believers, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now he's going to be talking about this day of the Lord. Notice the words that he used. They're not we and us. It is always they. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. That's the same illustration used in the Old Testament. And they shall not escape. So there is a people that will endure the day of the Lord. And Paul says it is they. It is them. But notice this now in verse number 4. He says, but ye. So we're contrasted with the they and the them. But ye, brethren, you Christians, are not in darkness that that day, that's the day of the Lord, should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. So we've read multitudes of references that say there's a coming day of the Lord. It's a time of fierce anger. It's a time of wrath. God will pour out his wrath on the wicked. He will destroy the earth and everything along with them. It is a horrible and terrible day. And Paul says, for them, but not for the brethren. You see that? Not for you, not for ye, not for the brethren, for them. Why are we exempt and they are not? Go down to verse number 9. For God has not appointed us, who's the us? Christians, to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. So there's a coming day of the Lord, and it's fierce. It's a day of anger and wrath, and God will destroy the wicked, but only the wicked. That day will not overtake us as Christians. We will not be a part of that coming day of the Lord, that time of darkness and destruction. Why? Because we're not of the darkness. What will God do with the Christians before that coming day of the Lord? Back up one chapter. For me, it's actually on the same page. But 1 Thessalonians 4, look at verse number 16. So we started reading chapter 5, verse number 1. Notice what takes place before this coming day of the Lord, which is why Paul uses it as a word of comfort. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, so we are living here on the earth, shall be caught up together with them, the ones that Jesus has resurrected, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, let me go back to my graphic here. When does the day of the Lord begin? It begins at the tribulation. But what takes place before the tribulation? The rapture. So if you have understood that God is angry at my sin, God is not pleased with the wickedness that I have committed, and you have turned to Jesus Christ and said, I want forgiveness of my sins, then God will forgive you. He will cover every sin, past, present, and future. So when he does come to judge the heathen, he takes you out. It's called the rapture. It's the rapture of the church. All of those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ and have received forgiveness of their sins are not appointed to the wrath that is coming. There is coming a day of wrath, an extended period of a time of wrath. But if you have come to Christ and received forgiveness, he will take you out of here before he comes to judge. That's the good news. So guess what we should be doing as Christians? Letting people know there's coming a day of the Lord, and it's fierce. You can say, my sin doesn't matter. It does, my friend. It does. Let me show you. God's going to destroy the sinners. He's going to destroy the wicked. He's going to destroy the proud. But you don't have to be one of those. You can turn to God. Accept Christ's forgiveness. And before that day starts, God will take you out. And then he will pour out his wrath on a wicked, heathen world. Back to Obadiah. Let's read verse 15. Obadiah says this, for the day of the Lord is near. It was coming to Edom. Edom was going to presently get judged for what they did. But Obadiah, through the Holy Spirit, broadens this out upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. Edom was going to get judged for what they had done to their brother Israel. They were going to endure God's wrath upon them, and it was going to be heavy. But Obadiah says this, anybody who acts like Edom. What is Edom a picture of? The flesh. You want to live in your flesh and do what your flesh says to do. You don't want to turn to God. You don't want to accept the forgiveness that's available to you. You just want to live the way you want to live, like Edom. The day of the Lord comes upon all the heathen. There's coming a future and final day of the Lord, and God will judge all the wickedness, and he will pour out his hatred and wrath against those who have rejected and rebelled against him. Now again, there's good news in all of this. If you don't want to be part of the coming judgment and outpouring of God's wrath, you need to turn to him in faith and repentance. That's all you need to do. But majority people would rather just stay proud and haughty in their sin. And perhaps one reason that that is because we, as Christians, haven't showed them what's coming. Yes, God is love. But do not allow the world to use that to excuse their sin. You have to say, friend, God is love. That's why he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. But if you reject that, the God who is love will kill you. And he'll send you to hell for all of eternity. But we don't like to say that, so we keep our mouths shut. But it's the truth of the Word of God. Friend, you need to make a decision. God's wrath will be poured out. The question is, will you be here or not? The Bible says those who have put their faith in Christ, he will take out before this coming day of the Lord. But if you are left behind, then you will go through a terrible time of God's wrath. And by the end, there won't be any wicked to stand. That is the coming day of the Lord. This is what Obadiah is referring to. I would encourage you, even we didn't look at the many references. Most of you have a smartphone. You can put that phrase in there, the day of the Lord, and see how many times it pops up. And you read, you continue to read what the Bible says about that day, a day of wrath. It can be escaped. Edom even could have escaped the wrath if they would have turned in repentance. God is always willing and is long-suffering to stop the outpouring of his wrath. But if they will not turn, he will pour it out. That is the coming day of the Lord. All right, let's pray.